Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon. That is for sure. And folks, just want to remind you, please go to our website, theunionedge.com, and sign up for our e-activist newsletter. If your local, your organization needs some help, we'll get the word out for you. If you're willing to help, we'll get the word to you. It's called Solidarity. We're all in this together, and we're all working to improve our community. Join us right now from TWU 555. We've got Chuck Cerf, president. Chuck, welcome to Union Edge.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
I appreciate it. Go ahead.
I'm Charles Cerf. We represent the ground crew at Southwest Airlines, the ramp agents, provisioning agents, freight, and ops agents across the country. We have 10,150 members.
And
we've been in negotiations for 3.5 years with Southwest Airlines. We're trying to get an equitable agreement that is fair to the employees and something that's fair to the company as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's all part of the whole dance, so to speak, the back and forth between the company and the employees that are getting the job done for the company. You know, Southwest was just awarded Airline of the Year. How are they doing financially, Chuck?
Well, they're doing great. This year, Southwest had record profits of $1.4 billion, and they awarded Airline of the Year. We think that's kind of hypocritical because the employees, many of them, haven't received any type of pay increase in almost 5 years. And our CEO, Gary Kelly, has received an additional 158% pay increase over three of those years without giving his employees, at least our group of over 10,000, any type of pay increase in 5 years.
Wow.
So we don't think that the statement he made last night that we are the employees of the century. We may be the employees of the century, but he's certainly not treating us like that.
He wants the employees of the century on the cheap, does he, huh?
He certainly does.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. So what are you and the members of TWU 555 doing to express your displeasure to him?
Well, we're in federal mediation now. We have had picketing over the holiday seasons across the country. We've run ads in USA Today. We are picketing at all the Southwest events. We are leafleting our customers who are very supportive and asking them to contact Southwest Airlines to get a fair bargaining or a fair contract for those ground crew employees that they're used to giving them the best service that we've historically performed. Southwest has always had a simple recipe for success, and that is the employee, treat your employees well, they'll treat the company or the customers well, the customers come back, and the shareholders are happy.
Mm-hmm.
We seem to have gotten away from that recipe for success and now are just fixed on the bottom line, and it's profits over people, and that's very disturbing for somebody like me who's been with the airline for 33 years.
Chuck, let me ask you this. Now, you've told us the CEO's his pay's gone up 158% over the last 3 years. How are the stockholders of the company done?
They've done terrific. In that same three-year period, our stock, which outperformed every stock on the S&P last year, which is quite a feat in itself, has gone from about the $11 or $12 range to the mid-40s. So the shareholders have been very well rewarded by a stock that has tripled in price.
Yeah, well, there you go. My goodness, you guys must be working hard. And now here's the deal. I mean, my goodness, if the CEO's doing well and the stockholders are doing well and the company's running ship shape, shouldn't they, share the wealth?
They should. We, because of bankruptcies with all the other major carriers, it's put us at a higher rate of pay than any other airline. So we've tried to work outside of the box with Southwest to get some bonuses that would actually put some money in the employees' pockets and not necessarily move the pay scale any higher than it already is. But they don't seem happy with that. So what they've offered us in the last round of negotiations in January, for those employees at the top of the scale that haven't gotten a raise in 5 years, they've offered them a 39-cent pay raise.
Woohoo!
For the first year, and $1,600 back pay, which we think is a slap in the face. Now, and then the next year of their proposal, no increase at all, and a very small bonus. So we don't think we're close to getting an agreement with Southwest, and maybe they think we'll take less tomorrow than we would today, but our employees know they deserve a decent pay increase to keep up with the cost of living that they've lost over those years. So here we sit, not in agreement, and our members are furious.
No, I can imagine the disappointment that your members are feeling. My goodness, you make the airline the best airline in the country, the Airline of the Year award and all that. The stockholders are happy because the price of a share of stock's gone from $10 to $40. The CEO must be pretty happy because he got a 158% pay raise. I don't blame your guys and gals one bit. So what are you asking the public to do to support you guys?
We're asking the public, when they're in the airport flying on Southwest, to let the company know, whether it's a ticket agent or anybody else, that the company needs to give a fair and equitable contract to those ground crew workers that give that wonderful customer service to the public.
There you go. There you go. Chuck, have you got any of this up on your website? If so, how do we find your website?
TW555. And I may be giving you the wrong. Let me step into the office here just a moment.
No, no problem at all. Here it is. I got it. TWU555.org. That's www.TWU555.org. And you've got negotiating updates there and other information. My goodness. What did the airline say when you bought ads in the USA Today?
They absolutely said not a word. They're trying to ignore the customers when they contact the airline. They're trying to ignore our ads. They're trying to ignore the ticketing and leafleting at the airport. They're trying to pretend that it's not going on and that everybody's happy. And in fact, in an interview in Dallas yesterday, the CEO said, I don't know why they're out there. I don't know why they're out there picketing the event. Everybody's happy here.
Is it possible that he's that far out of touch?
No, I don't think that's possible at all. I guess that's a PR campaign that their advisors are telling them, and that's the pitch they're telling them to say.
Well, there you go.
I don't think they believe their own rhetoric.
Well, there you go. Chuck, listen, we got to get going. It's TWU555.org. We appreciate you being with us, Chuck, and we'll encourage people to reach out to the company and to let them know to treat the employees fairly. That's just the right thing.
Thank you very much, and we'll continue to give that outrageous customer service that we've been known for.
Fantastic. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
Wow, the words you say.
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad. When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Whenever a corporation issues a statement declaring that it is committed to, quote, treating consumers fairly and with respect, chances are it's not. After all, if the outfit was actually doing it, there would be no need for a statement. Indeed, this particular claim came from Encore Capital, one of our country's largest buyers of bad consumer debt, and it definitely has not been playing nice with the people it browbeats to collect overdue credit card bills, car loans, etc. New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman found that Encore, based in San Diego, filed nearly 240,000 lawsuits against debtors in a recent four-year period, using our courts as its private collection arm. Problem is, Encore's bulk filing of lawsuits are rife with errors, out-of-date payment data, fabricated credit card statements, etc. Tons of them are missing original loan documents, payment histories, and other proof of debt. Debt predators, however, scoot around this lack of facts by simply having their employees sign affidavits asserting that the level of money owed is accurate. Judges, overwhelmed by the unending flood of lawsuits filed by Encore et al., have accepted those affidavits as true, thus ruling in favor of the corporations. But Schneiderman found that, surprise, affidavits were simply being rubber-stamped by company employees who didn't have time to check for accuracy. An employee of one large debt buyer testified that he was having to sign about 2,000 affidavits a day. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is no minor scam. 1 in 7 adults in the U.S. is under pursuit by debt collectors. It's hard enough for struggling families to claw their way out from under the economic crash without having lying, cheating, predator corporations twist the court system to pick their pockets and shut off their hope of recovery.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
Hello?
Hi, I found your name on the internet. I'm going through a foreclosure. Can you help?
Sure, it's simple. We'll just leverage your transitory expenditures into a fiduciary trust, and we massage those assets before your money goes into my private account.
I don't get it.
If you're facing foreclosure, who should you trust? The Hope Hotline is a free resource connecting you with HUD-approved housing counseling agencies available 24 hours a day who can give you the information and clarity you need. Call the Hope Hotline at 888-995-HOPE. That's 888-995-4673. Brought to you by NeighborWorks America and the Ad Council.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. Joining us now from Florida, Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio. Buck, welcome back.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, brother. It's a pleasure just to participate on Union Edge.
I got to tell you, we're excited to have you back, and many thanks to your wife for letting you go for a little bit every once in a while you guys are on vacation, or as we tell everybody, out on assignment. So
exactly.
It's great to be retired, that's for sure. So Buck, what is your take about what's going on all across the United States? You know, we see up in Michigan, Governor Snyder pushing for right to work. We got it going on with Governor Walker in Wisconsin. He's going to get it. People down in Kentucky, they're trying to do it county by county because they know they can't get it past the state. You know, these people, I am of the opinion that David and Charles Koch don't really care about the working stiffs. They've got an ulterior motive.
Oh, without question, they have an ulterior motive, and that's basically to destroy organized labor. That's not a secret. And one of the things that people should pay attention, I know that especially in lieu of this Wisconsin thing, is that back when they passed right to work in Michigan, they basically exempted the police officers and the firefighters from that law because, as you know, Charles, the police officers and firefighters are not allowed to strike or for better wages and benefits. And there was always this promise that they would be excluded. And it came so thick that they actually, the group, you know, I'm sure a lot of the groups supported Governor Snyder in his reelection, and a lot of them supported some of these conservative representatives and state Senate candidates for their positions. And now all of a sudden here we are coming into March, and we have a state rep, Gary Glenn, from over in the Thumb area, basically, who is going to introduce legislation to reverse that, to put the police officers and firefighters under the right to work law. And, you know, he uses terminology like he says he's paying attention to Wisconsin and he wants to put Michigan back on the scoreboard. And I guess where I lose it a little bit is that this is not a game. I mean, we don't pass laws because we want to do one thing worse than Wisconsin or one thing worse than, as you said, Kentucky. And these people have shown their true colors. And like I said, and you know, there's a side of me that says, you know, to the police officers and firefighters, you know, kind of shame on you, because if you trusted these people, you should have known better. So, like I said, that's the thing that they're now going after is these little bitty groups that they basically excluded. And like I said, that I don't know what their slant on it is in Wisconsin. I haven't had a chance to do the research whether there was going to be an exclusion or not. But I would warn them for sure, just look at Michigan.
Well, you know, and Buck, here I'm going to toss this out to you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There are some people out there that are saying that if I don't have any guarantee of due process, if I don't have any guarantee of due process on the job, and I have no ability to protect myself for my actions on the job, whether I'm right or wrong, I should have my day in court.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But if I don't get to have my day in court, if we have things like meet and confer, which means management says it, you say I'd like to meet and confer with you, management says it again, there, you've met and conferred, you understand, now it's management's way. If you do not have protections on the job, what do you think happens? People stop doing the job. They do only the things that they absolutely positively have to do, and they do it in such a manner that they cannot be accused of any wrongdoing. So, for instance, a cop or one team of cops will not go into a situation. They will wait for backup. And they will go in when they have many cops. And they have a supervisor there on site to lead them into it. That's what happens.
You're spot on, Charles. And you know, to put it bluntly, you know, that is right. I don't believe that police departments or fire departments, they're not businesses. And to be honest, I don't think we should treat them as a business. And so what this really is you know, an attempt by them basically to cut costs and by, you know, weakening unions, basically, as we talked about at the beginning of the segment, the real mission here. And, you know, but you're right. It doesn't hurt just those cops or those firefighters. It really hurts the public, and their safety is at risk because exactly of what you said. There's mm-hmm. different procedures. There's different ways things can get done. And like I said, that you when you asked at the beginning, you know, they're going after everything. So beware, people in Wisconsin, Kentucky, of all these little things where they say, okay, yeah, don't worry about it. You're not going to be lumped in with the same law. What happens is, just like they're doing in Michigan, is as soon as they get one piece of it, as soon as they get past an election cycle, they go after the rest of it. So, like I said, it's amazing. And like you said,
you know,
the only way
Buck, you know, we've got privatized prisons. Mm-hmm. We've got privatized organizations working for the military. Mm-hmm. How long do you think it's going to be before somebody tries to privatize the cops? And here's the deal. Right. Here's the deal. I guarantee you when they have that contract written up and they tell you we're going to save you X amount of dollars and cents every year, they're going to indemnify themselves. They're going to say, oh, no, you can't sue us for any reason. Just like a politician. Politician can do just about anything that they want and not be charged, not held responsible. They've put that in place for themselves over the years. I mean, you only have to serve in Congress one day and you get a full pension.
Exactly.
Okay. So how long is it until they go and save the taxpayer lots and lots of money by privatizing law enforcement, privatizing fire departments?
Well, you know, like you said, Charles, all along, that's the bigger picture. And you answered your own question. You asked what the Koch brothers and all these big money interests that are supporting these conservative causes, what do they want? That's what they want. They want a police department, a fire department that they can control, privatize. They basically cut anybody out of any method of collective bargaining. And we're kind of watching it unfold in front of our eyes. And shame on us if we don't get out there, register to vote, and do the things that are necessary to get these people out of office. Because, like I said, you talk to some people and they'll say, well, you know, I know that I shouldn't have voted for them or I should have got out and voted. But, you know, they won't really do that. They won't privatize the police officers or the firefighters. But it's unfolding in front of our eyes. They're every day, not only Michigan, but like you mentioned, Kentucky and Wisconsin.
You know, you're absolutely right. And I'm going to have everybody go back and watch the first RoboCop. and watch the first RoboCop. It'll open your eyes. Buck, it is always a pleasure. I hope you and your wife have a safe trip back home. Welcome back to the cult. And thank you very much for all that you do to help us, brother. We appreciate it. Meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. Just imagine, how big of a risk is a cop going to make when they're making $8 an hour?
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. The Wisconsin State Senate Wednesday night passed the controversial anti-union right to work bill on a vote of 17-15. Here's what it sounded like in the Senate gallery when that bill passed.
Senator from the 13th.
Immediately a message to the Assembly.
The Senator asked unanimous consent that the bill be immediately messaged to the Senate. Assembly! Senator from the 13th.
Madam President, I ask unanimous consent that we adjourn according to skeleton session tomorrow.
President asks unanimous consent we adjourn till skeletal session tomorrow. Without objection, we're adjourned.
Another frigid, snowy winter's day, another Wisconsin labor rally at the state capitol protesting the so-called right-to-work bill that Republicans are fast-tracking through the state legislature. Wisconsin AFL-CIO President Phil Neuenfeld.
What are we doing here? Well, we're here to fight for a better and brighter Wisconsin. A Wisconsin where all workers have the freedom to a family-supporting job with decent wages and benefits. A Wisconsin where all workers have the right to form a union. We are standing up for democracy and the middle class. Let's keep up the fight. Let's keep the solidarity alive. Together, workers indivisible. Solidarity, unity from one and all.
Labor is rallying again at Wisconsin's capital this Saturday. Bill Carroll is a Teamster with Local 344.
We are here to protest this right to work legislation that's being jammed down the throats of working people in this state. The name Right to Work is an illusion, and it's meant to fool and deceive people. It has nothing to do with the right to work. It has everything to do with eroding workers' voice on the job, unions, and organized labor's influence.
Thousands of United Teachers of Los Angeles members are rallying today to demand smaller class sizes, fully staffed schools, clean and safe schools, and fair compensation for teachers. The LA Teachers Union says labor talks with the district are at an impasse, and they say they're joined in the fight for quality public education by students, parents, and community groups, as well as other teachers' unions in California and beyond. This report made possible in part through underwriting from the Bank of Labor. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Members of the American Postal Workers Union handle more than 165 billion letters and packages a year. That's about 34 million pounds of mail every day. Ever wonder what this costs you as a taxpayer? Millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions? Not a single cent. The United States Postal Service doesn't run on your tax dollars. It's funded solely by stamps and postage. Brought to you by the men and women of the American Postal Workers Union.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
7,000 high school students drop out every school day. If you stack their desks one atop the other, it's a pile more than 17,000 feet high. That's 12 Empire State Buildings. But what's truly scary is that another stack is going up tomorrow. We can keep students in school. Visit boostup.org and take the first step. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.